Today, I want to share some thoughts with you from the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Yesterday, we shared a little bit from 2 Samuel, talking about the life of David. Today, we're going to explore a thought, and you will notice that most of the things we'll be talking about this week are going to be somewhat related to somebody fasting and what the result of that fast was. But ultimately, what I want us to grasp in our time together is this, that our time of fasting is not about being hungry. It's about a change in thinking, a suppression of the flesh and the dictates of the flesh, so that we can become more aware of the things of the Spirit. We become aware of what God is saying and God is doing. In 1 Samuel, the first chapter, the Word of God says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah." Praise the Lord. Elkanah simply means God has obtained. And he's the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephratite. And the idea being postulated and being projected to us is that this man came from a line of people that begat people. He has a great, 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 great father called Jeroham, and his son was Elihu, and his son was Tohu, and that one's son was Zuf, and he's an Ephratite, meaning that he came from the lineage of Ephraim, Ephraim being the one that had the greater blessing. The blessing was put into his life. He comes from a great pedigree. But the Word of God says he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. Hannah being mentioned here first meant that Hannah was the first wife. There was the first wife, Hannah. Hannah is the first wife. Elkanah, God has obtained, is married to Hannah. And, you know, Hannah's name means grace. One that is enabled. So the one that is enabled is married to the one who obtains, and there are no results. Things are not going the way they should go. There's confusion in the community. So he marries a second wife called Penina. Penina means jewel. And then it says, and Penina had children. Meaning he was married to Hannah, grace, and no children. And the man is doubting himself. How can I be the one that has obtained, I obtain, and I don't have children? So when he marries Penina and children come, wow, it's not my fault. I'm not sterile. It's Hannah. But the thing about his relationship with Hannah is that he loved Hannah. Now Hannah's moved from number one, and says, and Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. What a difficult place to find oneself when you are number one, and now, because things are not happening the way they should, you are relegated to second class. That's where Hannah finds herself. And she's deeply disturbed. I don't know what your situation might be or in what state you might relate with what is going on in the life of these two. But the word of God continues and says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of the hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And then it goes on and says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Now that word, worthy portion, is a very interesting Hebrew word that sounds like af. And what af means simply is nose, nostril, and anger. So it has two kinds of meanings. I'm sure you've heard the story, winning by a nose, or that statement. In a horse race, this horse won by a nose, by the nostril. Well, that's the idea of af. But it also means anger, angry. So he gave to her, and this is where you decide, is the cup half full or half empty? Is he giving to him, giving to her, an angry, here. Or is he giving, you win by nose. You still my special. I still love you. You didn't give me any children, but babe, you are good. We are okay. And that's how he meant it to be. You are okay by me. Child or no child, you are okay by me. Now it says in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. He loved Hannah, but God shut up her womb. I love you, Hannah. It's not my fault. God is the one. He's done this to you. And her adversary, Peninnah, Miss Jewel, never stopped teasing her. He said, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord shut up her womb. Now twice, we read that phrase, the Lord shut up her womb. You know one thing I found out? Whether it's here with Samuel's mom, Hannah, or Samson's mom, or Sarah, or in the New Testament, Elizabeth. Every one of them had a special child. Every single one of them had a special child. And the point is this, that when God wants to make you greater, He preserves you for a special experience. I want you to know today that delays are not denials when it comes to God. That God saves people for the best experience. It is the world that buffets and tries to provoke you and tries to cause you to be afraid so you can make mistakes and make wrong decisions. But what you and I must remind ourselves consistently about is this, that if God loves me, God will do something for me. He will remember me. Amen? And my prayer today is this, that God will remember every single one of us in a very specific and powerful way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so verse 7 says, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat, meaning she fasted. While everybody was celebrating, she would go there. And this particular time, when she went there, and Peninnah and her children were busy harassing her and causing her to feel like she was a nobody, like she was nothing, like she was, you know, the garbage, she began to cry. She began to weep. And the Bible says she refused to eat. The husband comes to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? This is not a place for crying. We came here to celebrate God and give Him thanks and release our special offerings to Him. This is a time of celebration. This is not a time for weeping. Why aren't you eating? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? I'll take care of you, woman. Just chill, be quiet, eat. But she stayed in her fast. Everybody else were eating, celebrating. And says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. They ate, not her. And after they had drunk, now it says, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by posts of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She was just bawling. I've had enough of this. How much longer am I going to be in this state? I'm the first wife. I was in this marriage before this Peninnah came. She came and things happened for her. She has sons. Sons. And every day she mocks me. And she cries out to God. And she says to God, God, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. In other words, if you give me this son I'm asking you for now, I'm going to turn around and give him to you. It's yours. Give me something to give to you. Why is she praying this prayer? Because Eli and his sons were busy misbehaving. They were taking the offerings of the people and abusing everything. They had no respect for God, no respect for the things of God, no respect for the people of God. They were just for themselves. They were just in for themselves. And the woman says, I know, God, you have a need. I know you have a need. You have a need. I want to be the one who will satisfy and take care of your need. You need a prophet. You need a son. I want to be the vehicle through which that seed will be born. Give him to me, and I'll return him to you. When you see a need that God has, you need to kick in and satisfy his need, because that's the way to cause God to open a dead womb. When there's no production, find out what does God want. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who it is that's asking you for water, you would have asked me, and then I would have given you. In other words, I'm here, I'm asking you for something, you give it to me, and you get. He says to the fig tree, you're not going to produce. Why? Because the Bible tells us he answered it and said unto it. Why? Because that fig tree was saying, it's not my season, I cannot give you what you're asking me for. And Jesus says, well, since you cannot give me what I'm asking for, from now on, you're barren. And that tree withered. Every time you find an opportunity to respond to the need of God, and believe me, God has no needs, but it looks like he does, jump in there and minister to that need, and God will minister to you. He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Is that what the word of God says? So she identified what God needed. She identified it. This is what God needs. And I'm going to be the one that God can use to satisfy this need. She vowed. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. It's understandable. You know, nowadays, you can't tell who is crazy on the street anymore, because they have Bluetooth devices, and this guy's busy talking, and you can't see the Bluetooth device, and you think, oh my, this is another one, druggy. He's lost his mind until you see the other side. And that was Eli's situation. He's seeing this woman's mouth moving, no sound coming out, and he decides, must be one of the drunkies. She's been busy drinking like the rest of them, and now she's drunk. But the woman had not eaten and had not drunk one thing. It was from the depths of her heart that she was crying out. She poured out her soul before the Lord, made a commitment, a vow to God. God, if you do this for me, I will give her. I'll return the favor. I just need you to bless me with a child. Give me a child. So she says in verse 16, count not thine handmaid for daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, I want you to watch this next statement, because it is a telling statement. It's a statement that many times as believers we miss. It says, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in what? Thy sight. This is the one missing thing that most believers don't get. That grace and favor that is manifested in the lives of people, most times, a great deal of the time, comes through a man or a woman of God that God has placed in his house. She's praying to God. The man of God declares to her that God meets that need. But the word that came out of her mouth is, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. Let me find grace in your sight. Because if I find grace in your sight, I know that that pronouncement that came out of your mouth shall be fulfilled. The one thing that shuts down the manifestation of prophetic statements that come out of a good heart towards a person is that they have not found grace in the heart of the man or woman that is pronouncing it. Man of God, you thought I came here drunk. Please reverse that, because that's not the case. Let me find grace in your sight. Let me find favor in your sight. And so the Bible says, so the woman went her way, and what did she do? And did eat. She stopped her fast. When? When the man of God said, let God meet your need. As soon as she had that pronouncement, she knew it was finished, it was done. The word that comes from the man of God, received, believed, embraced, was the word that she acted on. It was her action. He says, and her countenance was no more sad. I received a word. I received the word. Was she pregnant? No. What did she get? A word. From whom? The one that God had placed in Shiloh. What was that word? Go in peace, verse 17, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Go in peace, colon. Why? The God of Israel, he's granted you the petition that you asked of him. It is a done deal. Go in peace. Be healed. Be delivered. You need to receive that word and celebrate that word. You know, many times you speak a word to somebody, they act like they've received it, and they act like they've received it, and that's all they did. They acted like. Because when they are going out of there, something is playing in the back of their mind. I hope I get it. I hope I get that job. I hope I get that, the promotion. Well, praise God. Pastor said I will get the promotion. Praise God. And when they're going to see that manager or the person, the supervisor or whoever it is that's going to give the promotion, they're not going in the boldness of knowing that they've gotten it. They are still, I hope. No. When you know that it has happened, you act accordingly. Amen? And that's what she did. She acted accordingly. She went and ate. She started smiling, rejoicing. Guess what? When you are eating and you are smiling, Elkanah will come close. Sorry face, Elkanah will not come close to. So the Bible says, and they rose up early in the morning and worshiped the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah what? Knew Hannah, his wife, and what? The Lord remembered her. The Lord what? Remembered her. The Lord remembered her. My prayer today is this, that the God of heaven will remember every one of us. That God will remember Glory and Peace Church. God will remember me. God will remember you. God will remember us as a people. God will remember you and your business. God will remember you at your workplace. God will remember so that you experience the promotions, the increase that He has ordained for your life. Hallelujah. God's commitment is that we be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Nobody is going to come and overtake me. Hallelujah. The days of people coming and overtaking you and superseding you, those days are over, because when God remembers you, something new happens in your life. And I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that in these 7 days that God will give us supernatural speed, that we will begin to answer our name. Hannah, grace, let grace abound towards you so that you are energized to overcome, so energized to be head, so energized to produce fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel. 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 That name simply means his name is El. His name is God. Why? Saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. But the name Samuel means his name is God. His name is El, Elohim. The one who will do what we have and must have done. His name is God. He is God. He is God that remembers us. He is God that transforms our life. He is God that renews us. He is a God who causes us to be engaged with everything that is wonderful and beautiful. He is God, and He reigns forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She asked, and she received. And Bible says, the man, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow, but Hannah went not up. Hannah, you said you're going to give the child to God. Now they're going back to Shiloh. How come you're not going? Because I am not going to give to God a problem. I'm going to give to God a child that is weaned already. Hophni and Phineas and their wives are not going to take care of this baby and feed this baby. I am going to feed this baby, and when the child is weaned, then I'm going to release him to the Lord. Packaging is important. You can have a wonderful gift that you want to give to somebody and package it wrongly and garner disfavor. They may take it from you, but they'll be shaking their head and saying, what was he thinking? What was she thinking? Giving me this. That's not finding grace. If you're going to give somebody something, give it to them properly. Let me say that again. It's a learning time. Give whatever you want to give to somebody, especially if the person is dear and special to you, you think they are worth it, then give it to them properly. Hand it properly. Don't serve steak in a dog plate. Does that make sense? I don't care if it's ribeye or the choicest meat. Serving it in the wrong plate is dishonor. You're saying you're a dog. That's the value I place on you. I don't care what it is that you're giving to the person. You can give somebody $1 million and just squeeze it. Yeah. Listen, I write you a check for $1 million and I have the paper all crumpled like this. What am I saying to you? I'm saying, you beggar, you're nobody. Yeah. And so many people act like that. You know, I'm giving you the best gift. I'm giving you the best gift. It's lots of money. That is, if the person doesn't say anything to you, you just put a curse on your own life. This woman weaned the baby. So I'm not going to go give baby God, you know, a baby, and then everyone's running around, you know, how are we going to take care of this child? No, no, problem free. It's going to be some management, you know, a child is a child. So she waited. And understand that the longer this child stays with him, with her, the more difficult it is to release this child. If you had a baby right now and they took the baby away from you right away, you will cry, you will miss the child, and you wonder. But when you've raised up this child, fed, bonded with the child, now this becomes precious. This is giving double time. She made a statement. It was a serious statement. It was a vow. It was a commitment. But now that she's bonded with this child and now is releasing this child, this is serious. This is a gift that means something. This is serious giving. And God is taking notice. And what's going to happen to this woman? A prophetic grace is going to come upon her life. Bible says, she abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Until she weaned him. And they, you know, they come from a well-to-do family. Because when on the day of of dedicating this child to God and surrendering this child to God, they came with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and they brought it unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was what? Young. I don't know how old he was, but he was not a 1 year old or a 2 year old. He was up in age, running around, bonded, and he's been given to God. And the mother and the father and the siblings walk and they leave him. But he stays. Why? Because this child, the mother is saying to him, you belong to God. I'm just taking care of you for a moment, but you really belong to God. And one of these days, I'm going to take you to Shiloh. And when we get to Shiloh, I'm going to leave you with God. But I'll come see you as often as I can. And so she did. Because the Bible says that every year when they came back to Shiloh, she brought him a nice garment. She always had a nice outfit for him. Every year, she brings a nice outfit and oh, Mom, I love this. This is nice. Oh, my other one, I was growing out of it. But this is really nice. How does she know what his size is? I guess it's one size fits all. But she was relating with the boy, but handed him over. It's God, what I promise you. The word of the Lord. She says, oh my Lord, as I so live it, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And he worshipped the Lord there. The Bible says in Hannah chapter 2, prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Your mouth has to be enlarged over your enemies. You cannot allow your enemies to out-talk you and subject you and subdue you and terrorize you and keep you in a state of defeat. When she received the miracle God gave to her, she said, my mouth is enlarged. She only has one. We don't know how many Hannah had or Penina had, but she had this one. And she said, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. Yeah, I used to be one of the stumblers, but now I'm girded with strength. And she begins to make a contrast here in her prayer, and she's going to go into a prophetic. She says, they that were full have hired out themselves for bread. The people that had, now they are hiring themselves out for bread. They are hungry. And they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren had borne seven. What is she doing? She's prophesying. It says the barren had borne seven. Now, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. What is she saying? She's saying, the barren had borne seven, and seven is the number of completion. She's saying, I that was barren, I am made complete. And the one that had children is now weak. In essence, I'm getting stronger. I am getting stronger. And she goes on, prophesying after the seven, says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. In essence, she's saying, my life, my times are in the hands of God. For he's a God who makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he had set the world upon them. God, you are in control. You've been in control all through every experience I've been going through. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. This is not, whatever it is that has been accomplished here, it's not by my might or by my power, it is only because of your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king. What? Unto what king? What king? They had no king. Saul is not yet a king. David is not a king. There's no king. Israel has not had a king. But this man, this woman is prophesying already. She's already prophesying. And exalt the horn of his anointed. Exalt the horn of his anointed. And how is Samuel going to anoint David? With a horn. She's prophesying into the sun already. That's what you and I need to do in every area of our lives. We need to prophesy that which God wants done. Prophesy it, declare it, embrace it, celebrate it. And so she was doing. She was declaring the future in the now, in that sun. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Interesting. What happened here? Shouldn't it be Elkanah and Hannah went to Ramah? To his house? No. She's there. She surrendered him to the Lord. But like I said, packaging. She doesn't want any issues. This child is not going to be a problem for Eli. So she stays to continue raising him while there, watching. After she surrendered. Then she will go home. But she's there taking care of it. Taking care of that child. Whatever it is that we do, God calls us to be engaged. Amen? Someone say it with me. I will be engaged in what God is doing. I drove here today in a vehicle. And I had to engage the transmission for movement to take place. Until you engage, nothing happens. I can run that vehicle for 2 hours without engaging that transmission. That vehicle stays in the same spot until all the gas burns out. The anointing that God places on our lives must be an anointing that is engaged by commitment, or else nothing happens. We give to God, we honor God, but we watch to take care of what God is doing and wants to do. And so it is that the Bible says, it was Elkanah that went home. In essence, even if Hannah went home with him, her heart was still there. That's the idea. She never left. Even though she moved physically, she never left. You say, how do you know that she never truly left? And how do you know that she left? How can it be both things? She left, but did she not live? Because it says in verse 19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So she left, but she did not really leave. Because you can be somewhere else and your heart be somewhere else. Her heart was always about that child, praying for that child. God, help my son to be a great prophet, your anointed one. God brings us to glory and peace. This is our church. And we serve here. But how much of this place is in your heart? What God is doing here and how God can continue to do what he needs to do. When your heart is here and you believe in what God is doing here, you're not just here on Sundays, on Wednesdays, or wherever, you're here. Every opportunity you can, be here. Not only just physically, but in your prayers. God, do something in your church. Change lives today. Use your servants to impact lives today. Father, whatever needs to change in our church, oh God, in Jesus' name, change it. Father, do an extraordinary work of grace in this body. Enlarge this body of Christ. Lord, oh God, cause it, oh God, to reach lives far and near. You pray the prayer of faith. You will give to it so that it continues to grow and continues to impact lives because your heart is here. But when your heart is not here, you could care less what happens. I see sons and daughters come in here many a time that I don't expect to be here. And I come in here and I see them, they are busy serving, doing something, working on something. Wow. You took your time, you work every day, and you on your day off, you're here. doing this? I know why they are there. And I know this is somebody whose heart is always here. When your heart is always there, you find people and you help them through their crisis, as Sister Ellen did recently. You're there. It's not about what you can get. I came in here one day and there was some flaking paint in here, and that you guys know very well. And here's a brother, two brothers, whacking those things off until we can paint it. That's what they just came to do it. I said, wow, it's amazing. And I can go on and mention different ones in this house. Your heart is here. You're serving. You're committed. And God will reward every such person in the mighty name of Jesus. God will not forget service. God will never forget what you have done, because your heart is not just about, I gave my money. Great, so you did. That was good. Amazing. We can do a lot of things without money. But is your heart there? I begin to wrap. It says here, and Eli, verse 20, blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman. What on earth is going on? She's had Samuel. She's raised up Samuel. And she has no children. Just Samuel. But Samuel belongs to God. But what is going to change her story? The prophet. The Lord give this seed of this woman for the loan which she lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home. And verse 21, watch this. And the Lord visited Hannah. When? When Eli pronounced the blessing. That's why you must always do what causes the man of God to speak the blessing into your life, so that she conceived. I thought when she had Samuel, that was the end of the barrenness. No, she needed another word. And it comes from Eli. Who is Eli? The one God had placed in Shiloh. Eli was not even a very anointed man. Eli is going to die with his sons on the same day. The Ark of the Covenant is going to be taken during his watch. But because God placed him there, God honored the words that came out of his mouth. And Samuel is going to say, let not the words that come out of my mouth fall to the ground. Just like the words that came out of Eli's mouth did not fall to the ground. God, let not my words fall to the ground. And the Bible says, so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to pray today. We're going to ask God to do certain things for us today. The Bible will tell us in 2 Samuel 20, 2:26, it said, and the child Samuel grew on. He grew, and now he grew on. He grew before the Lord in 21, and now he grew on and was in favor, both with the Lord and also with men. We're going to pray, God, remember me. First thing we're going to pray. And cause barrenness in my life to cease. Will you rise with me? Pray. Barrenness is any area of our lives where we should be fruitful, but fruitfulness is not being made manifest. Where there's dormancy. God, remember me and cause me to be fruitful. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Lift up your voice before the Lord. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for this church. Pray for this ministry. Pray that God's hand will rest upon us like never before, and that we will experience supernatural fruitfulness in this year of supernatural fruitfulness and birthing. Let God do something extraordinary for us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, do it, Lord, in your loving kindness and in your tender mercies. Father, oh God, reveal yourself to us like never before. Reveal yourself, oh God, to us, oh God, as families and as a church, as individuals, and eradicate the presence of barrenness, oh God, in any area where you have ordained and positioned us to be fruitful. God Almighty, Father, oh God, in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, open, oh God, our womb. Open, oh God, the place, oh God, of birthing. Father, oh God, open, 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 open. Lord, oh God, let our womb not be shut in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we declare now, by the authority of your word, that God, that in your loving kindness and in your tender mercies, Lord, oh God, that you will open up our wombs. Father, oh God, that we will be opened up, oh God, to birth, oh God, that which you have ordained. In the mighty name of Jesus. Grace, oh God, let it come upon our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, let it come upon us as individuals. Let it come, oh God, upon us as a church. Oh God, let it come upon us, oh God, in every area, in the areas of our health, in the areas of finances, in the areas, oh God, of marriage, oh God, and parenting. Father, in every area, oh God, in our businesses, in everything, oh God, that we do, we declare, oh God, that there be, oh God, an open womb that produces in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare judgment against that which is contrary. Let barrenness cease. 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 And let fruitfulness come in Jesus' mighty name. We give you praise, O God. Fruitful, O God. Fruitful, Lord. We declare fruitfulness in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive the grace of fruitfulness. Hallelujah. So open your voice now and just say 7 times, Lord, remember me. Amen. Lord, remember me. 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 Hallelujah. 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 May the Lord remember every one of us and cause fruitfulness to be made manifest in those areas of our lives where we have not been fruitful. In Jesus' mighty name. Let us be reminded that part of the prayer of this woman of God, Hannah, whose name meant grace, who is going to give birth to Samuel, whose name really means his name is El, or God, that she made a commitment to the Lord. She was giving God a vow, releasing something that was precious. If you have not had a child, and finally you get this child, you want to keep this child. I heard a woman of God tell or give a testimony. She said she always dreamt about having a particular brand or make of Mercedes vehicle, one of the top ones. I don't remember, so I will not say exactly which one now, but it was one of their top models. And she finally got enough money, and she went and paid for it. I think it was close to 100 or what, just over 100,000. She paid for it, cash. She sat in the car, started it, and the Lord said to her, be careful with that car. This car is not yours. What do you mean? I saved everything, put everything together to get this car. Now you tell me it's not mine. Who does this car belong to? And the Lord told her who the car belongs to. Says, you take care of it. I will let you drive it just for a little while, but you must hand this car over. So she drove it for I don't know how many months, handed the car over, and kept on riding the bus and asking people to help her get from point A to point B. Can you imagine every day you come to church, you see somebody driving your car? And you are having to, can somebody give me a ride? Or you're riding the bus. And she was like that. The prophetic word came into her life. God is going to bless you. And the next vehicle she got, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, were all keys handed over to her. Here, this is yours. This is yours. The commitment of giving and positioning yourself to receive, that's a powerful experience. Today, I want us to pray, God, show me your need, the area of need that you have, that you want filled, and help me meet your need. Amen? Help me meet your need. I want to meet your need. So God, show me what you need so I can meet it. God needed a prophet in Shiloh. Hophni and Phinehas were messing up royally. Eli, too old to function. God, you need somebody after Eli. Give me the opportunity to raise up that child. What do you see? We're going to pray, God, help me to be sensitive to what you want done so I can be a vehicle through which that need is met. Pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, O God, that you grant me the grace and the discernment, the presence of mind in the realm of the Spirit, to know what you have need of, so I can address it by the authority of your word. Grant me the supernatural insight to see. I pray the same, O God, for every son and every daughter in this house today. those that are listening online, those that are going to listen in the days to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us, oh God, supernatural sensitivity to recognize the areas of need, the areas, oh God, that you want a particular thing addressed. And Lord, oh God, help us, oh God, to step in and see that need addressed in the mighty name of Jesus. Anoint us, O God, with this presence of mind. Perfect your will, O God, in us and through us. We receive this grace in the name of Jesus. Show me, O God, your needs in the house, in this house, and how I can help meet that need. In the name of Jesus, I receive the anointing. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural fruitfulness. Grant the grace, O God, to honor every vow, every commitment, in the mighty name of Jesus. For you are the God who changes situations. Change every situation for your glory and honor, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God says the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the word of God says Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature and in favor with God and man. The most impactful blessing is to find favor with God and with men. He continued to grow. We're going to pray two prayers aligned together here. God, cause me to continue to grow, and especially in wisdom, in influence, and in favor with God and with man. One without the other creates a challenge. When you find favor in the sight of God and the sight of man, the pathway is made easy. We'll pray, God, do this for me. Do this for my family. Do this for our church. Do this, oh God, cause us to increase. Cause us to increase in every sphere. Cause our reach to be greater and greater and greater and greater. Amen? Pray that prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you are doing this already. You are doing this already. You are bringing about a transformation, oh God, that only you can bring about. And Lord, oh God, we cry out to you, oh God, this day, and we declare, oh Father, be gracious and grant us, oh God, the supernatural presence of increase, continued growth in every area of our lives, in this church, in this ministry, in our family, in our health, in our finances. Lord, oh God, continue to increase. And Lord, oh God, cause us, oh God, to continue to increase in wisdom, to continue to increase in stature and influence, to continue to increase, oh God, in favor with you, oh God, and with men. We give you praise for this, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And finally, we're going to pray this prayer. It says in 1 Samuel 2:20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman. And then it says in 21, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived. We're going to ask God, visit me. The Bible says that Israel missed the time of their visitation. God, visit me and cause me to be fruitful. They had 3 sons and 2 daughters. Five, including Samuel. Her name, Grace, was now manifested. Her mouth enlarged over her enemies. We're going to say, God, speak your prophetic word that will propel me into my greater destiny. Amen? Because she had given birth, but now everything went stale. But now when the prophetic fresh word came into her life, it moved her. Father, speak your prophetic word into my life that will propel me. Amen? And when you pray that prayer, you better know that you are praying that prayer for the prophet that God has placed in this house. So that the prophetic word that comes out of my mouth ignites and moves you. And the one that God has placed as a prophet over me will be able to speak the word into my life that moves me. Every stage of my life, every move in my life have happened by a prophetic word. By prophetic word. You need a prophetic word. It may come through a message, a sermon like we've heard today. It might be a personal word to you, but it is a prophetic word that moves you. Amen? It's a prophetic word. So that prophetic word must be ignited for you. Because you can pray a lot of prayers. And so she did. But it was a prophetic word that changed her story. That's why you must find grace. Like she said, may I find grace in your sight. So that when you declare something, it happens for me. Amen? Pray that prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, O God, that your prophetic grace rest upon my life for your people. Lord, O God, that every word that comes out of my mouth for them, O God, will propel them and bring them, O God, to the place, O God, where there is no limit in their lives. Lord, O God, that the prophetic word that comes forth out of my mouth, O God, will push them, O God, into the place of grace and the place of fulfillment, the place of supernatural increase. I pray, O God, that you raise up, O God, your prophets, O God, that will speak into my life also, that I be propelled, O God, into that call and purpose that you have ordained. Lord, O God, in Jesus' name, I declare this day, that, Lord, when your prophetic word is declared, that there will be no doubt to the reality and the integrity of that word. So, Lord, oh God, that there be no delays. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare now, oh God, that your glory be made manifest. And I embrace, oh God, your everlasting word for myself, my family, and this household of faith. I speak, O God, your words, O God, into every life. And I declare in Jesus' name that your kingdom, O Most High, has come, and your will, even now, has been made manifest in us and through us for your glory and honor forever. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord.